Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
He probably thinks it's ridiculous that you people think he... I said you people.
What do you mean you people?
Yeah, what do you mean you people? What do you mean? Who are you, Don Cherry?
And Chris Ello.
I just had lunch with Larry Rothschild.
Oh, is that where you were?
Yeah, and he was running late, so.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
We've played these guys in the last few years, and they've upgraded in speed. They've always been fast, but they've even upgraded. And you have to stay on top, you know. You can't let these guys get behind you. We have to eliminate explosive plays as much as we can.
Chargers will try to do that tonight. Monday Night Football coming up on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's number one sports station. We are underway, Gwen and Chris, on a Monday afternoon. How you doing? 3:04 is the time. Chargers and Chiefs coming up a little bit later at 4:30 in 10 minutes. We are going to talk with Radio.com insider Michael Irvin. Remember, he is brought to you by Midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. And Tony Gwynn Jr. taking today off to help celebrate his wife's birthday. That's a smart move, Scraby. If you ever get married, you might want to take the day off to celebrate the wife's birthday. That's a solid idea. Solid performance by Tony on that one.
Well, you guys keep making it sound like marriage is so fun, so I don't know that I will ever get married, but who knows?
It is fun. And it's a good idea to take days like this off and spend it with the wife. So hopefully Tony is pampering, and we'll have him back tomorrow on the program. But a lot happened this weekend in the sports world, so let's recap it.
It's time to get the week started, San Diego.
Aye, aye, sir. Okie dokie.
Did you miss anything over the weekend?
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Gwen and Chris get you caught up on the biggest sports stories of the weekend now. It's the weekend.
I can feel my face when I'm with you.
You know, not that weekend.
But I love it.
It's the Weekend Whip Around on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's start in Mexico City, where they know their Chargers, and they booed Dean Spanos when he went up to speak to get ready for tonight's game. Chargers and Chiefs, 4:30, we'll be going there for the broadcast here on 97.3 The Fan. Here's the most interesting thing about tonight's game. You ready, Scraby?
What's that?
If the Chargers should beat the Chiefs tonight, the Oakland Raiders go into first place in the AFC West by themselves.
I watched a lot of the Raiders game yesterday, and that was said maybe a million times.
Oh, it wasn't?
I didn't hear that yesterday.
No,
but still, that's a good point.
I noticed that today, so we'll see. The Raiders will be rooting for the Chargers tonight. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, my thing that I saw over the weekend was on Friday night, not Saturday night, but Friday night, the Aztecs moved to 8-2 on the year. After beating up on Fresno State. Well, I guess you can't really say beating up. The defense beat up on the Fresno State offense, but they only won 17-7. Now, after the game, Rocky Long did something we were saying before. We've never seen Rocky do this. And he was asked a question by the media, and this is his answer. And then at the end, he gets up and walks away. So here is what he said on Friday night.
Now, I don't know, you know, since we finally look good on offense, I don't know if y'all realize they averaged 34 points a game, and we gave them 7. Thanks.
Ball game. That's it from Rocky Long.
I don't know.
Oh,
you know,
it goes over again. Yes. That was it from Rocky Long. When he said thanks, he just got
thanks,
up and left.
He dropped. Well, he wasn't holding the mic, but if he had been holding the mic, he would have dropped it.
He was
it.
Holding the proverbial mic.
Yes. Look, he's upset, and I think rightly so, that his team is 8-2, and people seem disappointed in the Aztecs. I mean, 8-2 is a tremendous season. But the fact that they can't go to a New Year's Day bowl, the fact that they only, as you said, only won 17-7, like Rocky Long doesn't get that. He doesn't understand why 8-2 isn't filling up SDCCU Stadium on a Friday night to see his team play. And that's because San Diego State's just never had that kind of following here. And they would have to go probably undefeated to get that kind of attention.
I agree. And Thomas and I were talking before the show. Thomas works in this business, and he barely even knew they had a game on Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night's just not a good night to play when you got high school playoffs going on around the county as well. So Aztecs do move to number 25 in the coaches poll. I was impressed with that defense, Rocky.
They were awesome.
So yeah, don't you didn't slip past me that you held Fresno State to a single touchdown in that game. Big winners over the weekend in college football were Oregon and Utah.
Yes.
Why is that? Well, because Tua got injured, the Alabama quarterback, out for the season, hip surgery today. He's doing fine after the surgery from what I understand. But here's the deal now for the college football playoff. You know you're going to get LSU. You know you're going to get Clemson. You know you're going to get Ohio State. Georgia deserves to be number four right now. However, if they lose to LSU in the SEC championship game, that opens up another spot. I think that spot would have gone to Alabama. But now that Tua is injured, it may not go to Alabama. They could instead choose the Pac-12 champ, which is why Oregon and Utah were the big winners this weekend.
That makes sense. What do you think about the controversy of whether or not Tua should have been in the game?
It's the stupidest controversy I think I've ever heard.
Because the injury happened, I believe, with less than 2 minutes to go in the first half.
Yeah, and I'm sure somebody came. And you know me, if there was a way to rip Nick Saban, I would. But not in this case. I mean, what did somebody come over and tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, you better take Tua out because I think he's going to get injured on this series?
Yeah.
When you're blowing a team out, you still don't take your starting quarterback out in the first half. I've never seen anybody do it, nor should Nick Saban have thought about doing it. So that's not even a controversy as far as I'm concerned. What else you got, Scrape?
What else do I have? The Colin Kaepernick workout was incredibly weird. It was incredibly weird.
We're gonna need a good segment or two to get into that.
Yeah, it got moved. It got moved to a high school when it was supposed to be at the Atlanta Falcons practice facility. And we will get into that later, but that whole thing was insane and crazy and weird.
It was a weird Saturday for sure, surrounding Colin Kaepernick. Everything surrounding Colin Kaepernick, I think weird always kind of comes into it. Last thing, Lakers have the best record in the NBA. Don't look now.
Whoa.
They are 11-2 after beating the Hawks last night easily, 122-104. At least the Hawks didn't give up 150 points like they did on Saturday night to the Clippers. But Celtics had a 10-game win streak snapped in Sacramento last night. So, the Lake Show, 11-2, best record in the NBA.
Wow. And I have one quick last one for the Padres. They, according to Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union-Tribune, they have pretty much virtually, they have made Chris Paddock and Mackenzie Gore virtually untouchable. But Luis Patino is more available.
Right.
Virtually untouchable.
I do actually think we touched on that a little bit on Friday.
We did.
But we're just underscoring the point.
Yes, correct.
Congratulations to Kyle Busch, by the way. He wins his second NASCAR title. You didn't think I followed that stuff, did you?
I don't. Nothing ever surprises me with you, but I didn't expect it to make it into the opening.
Hey,
segment.
It's a weekend whip around. We got to cover everything. That's all. All right. We'll check week 11 of the NFL in depth a little bit later on and also talk, as you said, Scraby, more about that Colin Kaepernick situation. But when we come back, the great playmaker himself, Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, will join us, courtesy of the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz. Radio.com insider Michael Irvin. When the show continues, I'm Chris Ello, Scraby, sitting in for Tony Gwynn Jr. today. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris, everybody, on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's number one sports station. right, right back at it here. Gwynn and Chris, 3:16 is the time. Matt Scraby in for Tony Gwynn Jr. today. And on our line is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Irvin, the great Hall of Famer. Insider calls are brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. Michael, real pleasure to have you on the show today. How are you?
Man, I'm trying to get sick, and I tell sickness, I ain't got time for your butt, man. I travel five days a week. I do three shows a week. One's in L.A., one's in New York, and then one's wherever the Thursday night game is. So sickness, be gone. I'm trying to speak it right out of my body. You know what I mean?
You sound healthy. You sound healthy.
If you hear me coughing through this, just keep it moving. We don't even recognize this sickness.
We won't even mention it. We promise. Michael, obviously, well, I want to start. Let's start with Colin Kaepernick off the field real quick. I'm curious your thoughts. I thought it was kind of a strange Saturday, to say the least, in the NFL. I think that the league was trying to honestly pull a fast one on Colin Kaepernick, and he switched directions and moved the workout. What do you think happened, and where do you think this thing goes?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, so many people, and I guess that's just what it's like when you're the big bad monster. Everybody's after you. I think that everything you bring down is not a good thing. And a lot of people have thought, wow, this is interesting. Why do you shift it to a Saturday? Why are you doing it this way? And I thought there were a number of reasons. First of all, I ultimately thought that this was part of the settlement, that there's no way, because if you have a lawyer that's worth anything, and he settles a case for you, some collusion case that you had against him, you get the monetary value out of it, but ultimately you want the results of, I want an opportunity to get back in the league. That's what to show that this, you know, I want to win by getting back in the league. Excuse me. So the league sets up this workout, and I understand, you got to understand, when teams individually brings in Kaepernick, they bring in all the other stuff that comes with it. So even if they don't sign Kaepernick after they bring him in for a workout, then everybody's talking, and it turns to, well, what kind of team is this that don't want to bring him in? And then that may turn into a racial issue. And let me just say this, guys. You know, Kaepernick came to that workout. He wore a shirt that said Kuta Kinte. You know, Kuta Kinte, it's like, wait. I understand what you started this with, and he's right on what he started with, the social injustice and what's happening between police officers and African-Americans and all of that. He's absolutely correct, 100%, that there's an injustice there that we need to look at and consider. But the league doesn't do that. The league has made more African-Americans millionaires than anybody else in the world. I don't know any place else that you can say have helped the plight of African-Americans. I know it has helped me move my family out of the ghettos in the hellhole of Fort Lauderdale, Miami. I know it has helped me, and it's helped countless amounts of African-Americans through this gift that we call football. So to have to attack the league in that way, I thought was, you know, just to be calling Kuta Kinte and all of that stuff, that was not right. I thought winning for Kaepernick was getting back on a team and us being able to talk about, man, he fought through, he stuck with what he believed, and he got back on a team. And then that came down Saturday, and I don't think he helped himself with the way he handled that. To go, when you move your own workout, that's one thing. You want to move your workout, that's one thing. And some teams showed up. You had 25 teams at one spot. 8 teams moved, and you moved the workout. And then afterwards, you say, I've been waiting for 3 years, and now, you know, you guys have been running. And I just don't think he helped his cause right there. And that's sad, because I want to see him back in the league. And he has more opportunities in the league now. Let's look at what's great in this league. Look at all the MVP candidates, the Patrick Mahomes, the Russell Wilsons, the Lamar Jacksons, Deshaun Watsons. All of those are mobile quarterbacks. When he was running at court, when he was playing quarterbacks, we were still in the Peyton Manning and Tom Brady era, and everybody talked about the 3-5-7-step guys that couldn't run. Now your skill set fits more. If you're not a starter, you'll definitely get an opportunity to be a backup, but I just don't think he helped himself with his approach.
Hall of Famer Michael Irvin with some Hall of Fame thoughts right there on Colin Kaepernick, Radio.com NFL Insider, joining us here on Gwen and Chris. Michael, really good stuff. I'm going to transition where you went, which was to the running quarterbacks right now, because your great Dallas teams featured one of the greatest dropback passers of all time and pocket passers of all time in Troy Aikman. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys ran timing routes. I mean, everything was predicated on you running the perfect route, Aikman putting the ball somewhere, and you being there to catch it. This is totally different football right now with Lamar Jackson and Wilson and Deshaun Watson. Do you like this style, and would it have been good for your game?
I don't know if it would have worked in my era. But now, there's so many things that we have to pull out of that comment you just made and the statement and the question you just asked, because let's look at it on the back end. We had to have timing routes, because on the back end, we have a route called a bang eight. I'm going to hit my fourth step, and I'm going to take a slight slant towards the middle of the field, and I'm going to catch that ball 18 to 20 yards right inside the numbers. You know why they call it a bang eight instead of just an eight route? It's called a bang eight because soon as I throw this ball and let it go, it's going to be bang, bang. You will be hit right in the mouth by that safety. No doubt about it. You're going to get hit in the mouth by that safety. So it was paramount for Troy to get that ball off with the timing so I don't get killed. And I can catch it a tenth of a second before that guy hits me right in my mouth. And he's going to hit me in my mouth. That's why timing was so important then.
Yeah.
People never talk about it now. You can't hit players. Well, you got to wait till after they catch the ball or it's a defenseless hit. So now the mobile quarterback is more valuable because you can't hit him until after the ball is caught and he's coming down. So now I can move around, you move around. If you get open, I just throw it to you. You can go up. There is no separation from ball. It's only either knock the ball down or tackle you after you catch the ball. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
That makes it a lot more pliable for the mobile quarterback, and that's why we're seeing this spurt we're seeing now that comes into this league.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Irvin, Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, on with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, I'm going to – that was great.
Nobody ever talks about that side of it. Nobody ever talks about the other. I went through that pain and agony. So when they first came up with these new rules, I was like, what? Wait a minute. They're going to be getting in the Hall of Fame, and they don't have to take these hits.
They can't even touch them nowadays, Michael. Are you kidding me?
I said, that's not fair. And then my son started playing. I said, we need some new rules. Once my son started playing, I started worrying about, hey, you can't hit him. Wait till he comes down with the ball. You know, stuff like that.
Did you ever see a hit out there, like during a game on a Sunday, and they get up and they're looking for a flag, and you just think, that was my everyday Sunday route right there? Do you kind of.
Every day I got hit like that. And then not only did I get hit like that, it got replayed on the Sunday shows. They used to call them. We even had a segment when I was at ESPN called Jacked Up.
Yes. Yep.
You know, I love that segment. Oh, you show somebody get hit and say, he got jacked up. It was. That's what everybody loved. And now, you know, you can't even have those kind of things on TV. They don't want you promoting it. They don't want you talking about it. And certainly they'll get rid of anybody that's doing it.
Well, let me go back to what happened at the beginning of this week with Myles Garrett and the Browns and the Steelers and everything. What are your thoughts on what happened with Myles Garrett and the suspensions that came down?
It was the right thing to do, to suspend them indefinitely right away. And I've had many conversations with people on this and talking about it. And they're like, well, what's going on with Mason Rudolph? He should just – I had to tell somebody, listen, if you and I started a fist fight,
mm-hmm.
Okay, we're in a fist fight, that's just us fist fighting, but then all of a sudden you pull out a knife, you just took it to a different level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So a fist fight, we can both go home after we're done here, whatever, we got angry, everybody got mad, all right, but you went home. But once you pull out a knife, that's a deadly weapon. And that's exactly what a helmet is. That's a deadly weapon. And that was, you know, that wasn't right. I felt bad for him. I felt bad because even afterwards, Myles Garrett, he said all the right things. in the interview, and you can hear that he was contrite. He just lost himself. But the NFL, they cannot allow it, especially since they are trying to legislate out all head injuries. And for him to swing that helmet and you know, hit him in his head like that, that's just not right. It was the right thing to do.
Well done, Michael Irvin. Great stuff, Michael. I got to sneak one more in for you here, if you don't mind. And you've been gracious with your time, and it's great having you on the show. Love what you've had to say. The NFL Network counted down the top 100 teams of all time. I don't know if you saw it on the weekend, but your Dallas Cowboy great team of 92 came in sixth place as the greatest team of all time. I will tell you the five teams that were ahead of you if you'd like me to, but my question to you is, are you okay with that sixth ranking, or does your team...
First of all, tell me the five, and then I got to give you a thought on it.
Okay, I'll give you the five. Number one was the undefeated Dolphins, which I disagree with personally. Number two was the 85 Bears. Number three was the 78 Steelers. And number four and five were both 49er teams from the 80s, and then the Cowboys of 92.
And we would have whipped all those teams. We would have killed the 72 Dolphins. We would have killed.
And that's coming from a guy from Miami, right?
Right. And I'm a Dolphin fan. I grew up. My wife for 30 years cheered for the Dolphins. So I'm a Dolphin fan. But we would have just simply killed that team. Because they were just running the ball. All they had to do was stack the line of scrimmage. I was surprised. They had our 95 team at 47.
Yeah.
The only reason I didn't go real crazy about that is because 47, since I wore it in college, happens to be one of my favorite numbers. So I just kind of took, okay, maybe that's a good luck charm there. But the reality is, I believe my 95 team was better than my 92 team. Hmm. Because we had Deion Sanders on the corner in 95, and we could shut down one side of the field. I set records for... I don't know, maybe 900 yard games in a row, and 11, 12 of them for a season, stuff like that. I thought that was a better year. So I don't know what was the matrix in which they determined these teams, but you know, you're saying you're in the hunt of the 100 best teams in all of NFL is an accomplishment by itself. So I had dinner with Troy the other night, and he and I were sitting there thinking, man, we could have done so much more, you know. And that's what I tell kids now. Listen, man, I tell these dudes, you guys, I'm telling you, I know you don't think you are, but you are. You're going to wish you would have poured more into the football, more into your career to get more out of it. Because, Troy, we won three Super Bowls. We won three. And we're still talking about we blew it. We should have won six. So imagine what you guys that are going to walk away with zero are going to be going through. This is a reality. Squeeze all you can out of this time. I tell them, I say, you are right. I say, I can only reminisce and get upset about my history. I reminisce on the good times and get upset about the things I miss. Right now, you are writing your history. Man, you want to write well so you can reminisce well.
Can't believe you were sick today, Michael. You sounded like right on the money the entire time. Love chatting with you, sir. Have a great day. Thanks so much for joining us here in San Diego, and best of continued luck with you, your health, and everything going on. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Michael Irvin right there, Hall of Famer, Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz. All right, Scraby, we may need the next half hour to break down what Michael Irvin just had to say. Some great stuff right there from Michael Irvin.
Did it shock you a little bit that he didn't take Colin Kaepernick's side?
It surprised me.
It surprised me too.
Because I'm on Colin Kaepernick's side, and I'll tell you why when we come back and get into that conversation a little bit deeper. We'll also break down week 11 of the National Football League. I want to remind you to stop and say hi to the coach, John Quintera. He's doing a show live from the SDCCU Holiday Bowl Blood Drive presented by Dexcom this Thursday. That's November 21st, this Thursday from noon to 3 p.m. The blood drive takes place between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. in the parking lot of SDCCU Stadium. So everyone who donates blood will get two tickets to the game. Plus, you can stop by and you can win tickets to 97.3 The Fan Night at SeaWorld, presented by Sprint as well. As Alt-94.9's No So Silent Night, that while supplies last. OGs will be giving away free pizza to donors between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. as well. So a big day. Go out and see the coach this Thursday, the SDCCU Holiday Drive, supported by San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. And you know what a Dolphin fan I am, Scraby?
Yes, I do.
I think the Dallas Cowboys of Michael Irvin in 1992 would crush the undefeated 72 Dolphins as well. I agree with him.
I love how
that
he
was
said
funny
that.
How he said that. That was great. You got to make a promo out of that.
Oh yeah, we would kill the 72 Dolphins.
You got to make a promo out of that. Great stuff from Michael Irvin. We'll come back, talk some more NFL. Week 11 when we come back. Gwen and Chrisello, Scraby in for Tony today. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Hey, everybody, look good this holiday season with Supercuts, and keep looking sharp all year long. Go to 97.3thefansd.com. Sign up to win a year's worth of Supercuts, courtesy of 97.3 The Fan and Supercuts San Diego. Very sweet. Speaking of hair.
How's your hair doing?
I got to tell you, I have finally won over the hardest critic of all to win over.
Ooh, Dr. Shafu?
No. Oh, no. Dr. Shafu knows he did a great job on my hair.
Mrs.
My
Ella?
Wife now
really
finally is coming around and saying, oh, my goodness, your hair looks incredible.
Nice.
I just want to tell everybody, San Diego Hair MD, and that's an unpaid-for spot right there. But it is so good that now even the wife has come around. And
that's
she
when you
loves
know it works.
That's when you know that works. So call SanDiegoHairMD.com. Week 11 of the National Football League. Time for a little NFL music, Thomas, if you would. Get into the action. Recap it for you. Of course, Chargers and Chiefs coming up tonight. But we thought this was going to be the game of the week. It turned into a blowout. The Baltimore Ravens really looking impressive against the Houston Texans.
Lamar Jackson, pirouette to the left, throws a strike to Ingram. Ducks under one tackler, the 10 to the 5, lunges at the 1, touchdown, Mark Ingram. T.O.B., thing of beauty.
T.O.B.?
That's what he said.
All right. Well, these announcers are running out of stuff
to say. I liked
it. Now, you liked that one?
I did.
All right.
I liked it.
Lamar Jackson was amazing again. Four touchdowns, Ravens 41, Texans 7. The one thing that stood out to me in this game was early in the game, though, DeAndre Hopkins got tackled in the end zone trying to catch a pass.
Yes.
And Houston challenged the new rule for a pass interference call.
They did.
And they did not overturn the no call. And I thought, if they're not overturning that one, they're never going to overturn one in history.
No, they say, what's the word they use? Egregious? It has to be an egregious action?
That was egregious.
He tackled him in the end zone.
Evidently, 37 times there's been a challenge this year, and only 2 times it's been overturned. So,
and if you can't, like you said,
it's kind of like having a new rule that you don't even do anything with.
Well, we thought it was going to be kind of crazy to begin with, but they're not allowing it to get out of control.
No, guys are just allowed to commit pass interference, and if it's not called by the refs on the field, it's not going to be overturned in the booth.
I feel like they should go back and look at the defender. If he looks for the flag more than once, he knows he's guilty.
Then he should just get a PI for that.
Because Marlon Humphrey looked like he was looking for the flag.
Oh, he knew he committed the penalty. Good call, Thomas. All right, Cardinals and 49ers yesterday. I told you they're the phony Niners, Scraby. They're barely going to hang on and make the playoffs if they even make it. They had to rally to beat the lowly Cardinals.
Garoppolo in the shotgun. Jeff Wilson Jr.'s in. He runs inside. He's got a 10-5 touchdown!
Raiders!
San Francisco!
Yeah, it just doesn't sound the same for, what is that, Greg Papa?
Yes.
Yeah, he still should be doing the Raiders. 49ers do beat the Cardinals 36-26. Here's the interesting thing about that game. The final play of the game, the Cardinals ran one of those little wild little lateral things, and they fumbled it, and the 49ers ended up scoring a touchdown. But the NFL does not require you to kick the extra point anymore if there's no time on the clock and the game's already over. They changed that rule 2 years ago. The spread was 10.5.
Ooh.
So if they still had the rule where you had to kick the extra point, the 49ers probably would have won by 11. And those who bet on the Niners would have won. Instead, they won by 10. Those who bet on the Niners lost. There was a big, big hullabaloo about that in Vegas yesterday.
Here's my thing with the 49ers. I refuse to believe that they are as good as everybody is saying they are. Because this is
I'm
the Cardinals.
I'm not saying they're very good.
This is the Cardinals. I know you aren't. This is the Cardinals. And Jimmy G, he did win the game. It will go down in the record book, in the stat book, as a game-winning drive, a fourth-quarter comeback. But I just don't think that he's as good as everybody is saying.
He threw two of the worst
it.
Picks I've seen all year. At least one of the worst picks I've seen all year. He threw two total in the game. All right,
Kyler Murray, real quick. Murray, I was completely wrong about that guy. Same with Lamar Jackson. He can hold his own. I think when in years from now, I think that Kyler Murray is going to be better than Lamar Jackson.
That's saying something, as good as Lamar Jackson's playing right now. Patriots and Eagles, rematch of the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Tom Brady, no touchdown passes, but Julian Edelman had one.
Edelman motions into the backfield, and then motions out to the right. Brady Pass. Throws it to him. It's a lateral. Edelman's looking to throw under pressure to the end zone. Whoa. For Dorsett.
Shut
a
up.
Strike for a Patriots touchdown.
A razzle dazzle, baby.
Shut up.
Pass.
Give me a one color guy Matthew. In the history of the NFL that can just not talk over the play-by-play guy.
Well, that is
so
definitely
tired
not,
of it.
It's not your broadcast then, because that's what he does the entire game.
Pass.
Like, you're not Tony Romo. We don't need to know.
In
Let
fact, you're right.
It.
In fact, Tony Romo's the only one I'll allow to talk over the play-by-play guy. Patriots beat the Eagles 17-10. Brady was a little frustrated afterwards. First time in his career that it was another Patriot who led the team in touchdown passes when Brady played
Isn't
the entire
amazing?
Game. Kind of. But
kind of,
else,
yeah, you're right.
Who else would beat him out?
You want to know what's more amazing? The Patriots are going to finish above 500 for the 19th consecutive season.
They're also going to win the division for the umpteenth time in a row.
Julian Edelman joins Antoine Randall as the only wide receivers to throw a touchdown pass in preseason and postseason.
What about regular season?
Yeah.
I did. I said regular
season. No, you
season.
Said preseason,
you said preseason,
and,
preseason and postseason.
Oh, I meant regular season and postseason.
Regular season and postseason.
Preseason doesn't matter.
All right. Yeah, preseason I'm not keeping track of. Bears and Rams. Bears have some issues because the Rams ran all over them last night.
A bunch of tight ends and Cooper Kupp to that side, leading the way for Gurley, who gets the handoff and hammers it in. Touchdown, Todd Gurley. Touchdown, L.A. Fireworks fly off the peristyle end of the Coliseum. Into the night sky. 9-0 Rams with 3:28 to go before the half.
These are not your father's Rams, though. They did win, but only 17-7. They have their offense is really hurting without
what's happened,
Brandon. Well, they've got too many injuries on offense, and then the Bears are a disaster on offense. And Trubisky may be losing his job soon. Although Matt Nagy came out today and said, "No, we just took him out because he was hurting." Not a lot of us believe that. To be honest with you, will Trubisky remain the Bears quarterback? That is something that remains to be seen, actually.
He said Matt Nagy said this after the game, quote, every decision that was made, it had zero to do with this play. Zero. It was completely based off the injury that he had last night and where he was at. That talk, when they broke it down and they had Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky talking to each other on the sideline, it looked more of a serious talk of, hey, listen, this is going to cause, because he's already sensitive as it is trying to get all the TV shut off in the facility. So this is not good for him.
He doesn't want to hear any negative commentary, but you're going to hear it in Chicago if you can't get the job done. The funny thing is Trubisky was really good last year. So has he just, was that the blip on the radar? Or is what's happening this year the blip on the radar? The Bears have to figure that out. Vikings and Broncos. Denver jumps to a 20-0 lead. Of the last 100 teams to trail by at least 20 points at the half, only one has come back to win. That was yesterday's Vikings.
Wow.
Cousins under center, play action. Bootlegs out to the left. Looking to the left. Firing. Caught. Rudolph. 10-5. Touchdown! And the Vikings have taken the lead!
had to hang on, though. Denver made a drive down the end of the field at the end. And that's my buddy Paul Allen, who I keep telling you to get on the program.
Oh, I was just about to say, Thomas and I are working on it.
Work on that. Get Paul Allen on. Vikings are 8-3, you know.
They're not under the radar.
They are. I mean, people are looking at the Packers, the Saints, and the Seahawks in the NFC right now. Don't forget about the Vikings. The Falcons are forgotten, but they have turned things around completely. They blow out the Panthers 29-3. What were you telling me, Thomas, before the game or earlier before the show, that the Falcons didn't have a single sack all season until last week, and now they have like 11-2 games.
11-2 games after having basically zero all season.
They have gone crazy. Kyle Allen quarterbacking for the Panthers. Maybe he's not the answer for Cam Newton. Nine interceptions in his last four games.
Sorry, last week when we were doing this, I fought Tony saying that Kyle Allen is a good quarterback.
Oh, did you?
And Tony's like, no, he's garbage.
Garbage?
I don't know that he's garbage, but he's not very good right now.
All right, he was garbage yesterday, 29-3 Falcons. Bengals and Raiders. Bengals looking for their first win of the season. Instead, they became the first team to be officially eliminated from playoff contention.
Here's your third down from the 3-yard line. Carr is going to throw it. Steps up. Can't find anybody open. He's going to run with it. Stay on his feet. He's got open dive in zone. Touchdown, Raiders. What a move by Derek Carr. His second rushing touchdown ever. Oh, my. He went airborne.
Yeah, it was an okay move. I mean, I'd give it about a 6.5. Russian judge may give it a 5.5. It wasn't all that impressive, but it did lead the Raiders to a 17-10 win. And as I mentioned earlier, if the Chargers beat the Chiefs tonight, the Oakland Raiders, Scraby,
yes,
go into first place in the AFC West. Gruden's got him going. I mean, he's doing it. You know, they weren't impressive yesterday necessarily, but... all I ask you is, did you get the W at the end of the day? Dallas and Detroit tomorrow. This was a wide-open affair. Dak Prescott, 444 passing yards. Got a few of them to Zeke.
It's third down and 7 at the Lions 17. Snap is back. They blitz. And he flips it out right. Elliott picks it off the ground. 20, 15, 10. Cuts left. Dances in. That's a touchdown. You can walk the dog on the pass that time. And Elliott comes up doing his impression of the Prescott swivel warm-up dance.
That was good.
That's one of the better announcers in all of football, by the way, Brad Sham,
for
the Dallas Cowboys. He's really good. Dallas looked okay. Detroit continuing to underachieve, but, of course, they're without quarterback Matthew Stafford now for 6 weeks. That's going to doom the Lions this season. 35-27, Dallas moves back into first place in the NFC East. Meanwhile, Jacksonville got Nick Foles back. Indianapolis got Jacoby Brissett back.
Brissett out of the gun, ball's on the near hash. In motion now is Nyheim Hines. Hines is in the backfield behind Brissett in a pistol formation. They give it to Hines. No, it's Brissett running with it. Brissett to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacoby Brissett.
Is this right, Scraby? The Colts rush for 264 yards?
That's what the NFL said.
My goodness. I mean, Jacksonville does not have a bad defense normally.
No, and Marlon Mack got hurt, so two separate running backs rushed for over 100 yards yesterday.
264, that's a undefeated Dolphins total back from the early 70s. That's a lot of rushing
Chris,
yards.
Chris, did you happen to see the probably greatest touchdown celebration dance of all time in that Colts game?
I didn't, no. Who did it?
So they had lined up Quentin Nelson, who was their stud left guard at fullback, took him on a fullback dive.
Oh, I saw him score.
Well,
but I didn't see his celebration.
So him and the lineman did a keg stand in the end zone. It is by far the greatest celebration of,
you've ever seen, huh?
Yeah, it was amazing.
I don't know. I thought check it out. Zeke doing the Dak was pretty good, too.
All right, I'm going to check that one out. Buffalo beat Miami 37-20. Moving on.
Wait a second.
We don't need to talk about that, do we?
No, we do. Because
why do we have to talk about that?
Josh Allen, when he is good, he is really good.
Well, he is good. And I told you before the season he's good. And he was responsible for four touchdowns in this game yesterday, as the Bills improved to 7-3. Miami's impressive two-game winning streak comes to a halt.
They fought it out.
They did. You know what? They're trying for their new coach. What is it, Brian Flores?
Yes.
So, you know, I'm happy for that. But Bills win it rather handily. Saints rather handily over Tampa Bay yesterday. Drew Brees threw three touchdowns, and the Saints' defense scored as well.
Fourth down and 10. Winston in the gun. 3-on-1. Saints bring pressure, and Winston throws it right to the Saints. Coming back, Marcus Williams, the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Marcus Williams.
Yep, Saints go on to win it 34-17 over Tampa Bay. Michael Thomas,
wow,
94 catches in 10 games. He's on pace to become the first guy ever to catch 150 passes in one season. He may do it because Drew Brees looks for him.
Every play.
Every play. And I don't blame him because Michael Thomas is always open every play.
He's really good.
So, you know, Drew Brees is going to throw to the guy that's open. And Michael Thomas is really, really good. Jameis Winston, my goodness, 18 interceptions this year for Jameis. All right, one last game, Jets and Redskins. This was the toilet bowl of the weekend.
Wait.
In what?
No, it was. One it was.
Come on. I mean, you know, it just was.
Twice the last game on our list.
It was what it is, but the Jets got a little offense that they could be proud of.
Darnold in the shotgun, Crowder motions right. Darnold rolls to his right. Fires back right corner of the end zone for Robbie Anderson. He's got it. Drags the right toe and leaps over the wall into the Redskins crowd with a Jet touchdown.
Too bad the Jets aren't in the NFC East. They've beaten the Cowboys. They've beaten the Redskins, and they've beaten the Giants. So they're 3-1 against the NFC East. They haven't won a game elsewhere. Washington is 1-9. Dwayne Haskins, you know what? He made a couple of really good plays where you could say, hey, maybe the guy's got something.
Yeah.
But a couple of good plays isn't going to make it in the NFL. I mean, well, you need 60 minutes worth of good plays to win.
You also need guys around you that care. And there's a video floating around Twitter and all the internet sources of him trying to plead with his offensive line. Like, what can I do for you
somebody
so that you play better? And they couldn't look like they cared less.
Yeah. The Redskins situation's ugly, and it all starts where?
The owner.
At the owner. I mean,
there was sell the team chance Thomas was telling me yesterday.
Absolutely. Redskin fans are as good as any in the NFL, and they're used to Washington being a very competitive team. But Daniel Snyder's ownership has taken that whole franchise down for the count. All right, that's a wrap-up of Week 11 in the NFL. Good job, guys. Good highlights there, Scraby. Well executed by Thomas Andrews. All I had to do was kind of...
Just sit here.
Coast along there. That was well done, guys. Nice job. All right. Tonight it's the Chargers and the Chiefs in the Monday night game. It's coming up right here about a half hour from now on 97.3 The Fan. Chiefs are 6-4. Chargers are 4-6. So, and they're playing in Mexico City, which is where the Chiefs and Rams were going to play last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the field was a quagmire or something like that. They had to move it to the L.A. Coliseum. Not this time. The NFL went down there and made sure. I think the NFL installed the field. I really do.
Really?
Yeah. I think they took...
Well, that's the only way you could control
the
it.
The NFL took complete control, which is something the NFL is very, very good at doing. It's controlling situations, which is what they tried to do to Colin Kaepernick, which is what Colin Kaepernick did not allow them to do, which is why I was surprised that Michael Irvin, who was on with us earlier, and if you missed any part of that really excellent interview, make sure you check it out online at 97.3thefansd.com. I know Scraby will get that posted shortly. But Michael Irvin was on the NFL side in this crazy Colin Kaepernick Saturday. I really wasn't. I was more on Colin Kaepernick's side here.
This surprises me more than anything we've talked about today.
Yeah, I'll tell you why when we come back. I'll give you a little rundown of what I'm thinking. NBA, Lakers have the best record in the league. They're 11-2. They need to have the best record in the league right now, though. Remember, Lakers playing 10 of their first 14 games at Staples Center, and they're taking good advantage of that by knocking everybody off. Held on to beat the Kings Friday night, and then easy over the Hawks last night. So we'll get into some NBA stuff as well. The Aztecs are number 25 in the coaches' poll. We'll talk some San Diego State, and why is Rocky Long so upset despite the fact that his team is 8-2? We'll let you know when we return. San Diego's number one sports station. I'm Chris Ello, Scrabian for Tony Gwynn. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. we can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing so many Dickersons in my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And Chris Ello.
I'll tell you why you do not want to hesitate to put Patrick Holmes in your lineup, because I am playing against him.
I don't know who Patrick Holmes is, so. All right, next story.
Give me another non-story there, Slugger.
Let's go! Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back, Gwynn and Chris. Quick get-together on this Monday. 4:05 is the time. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mexico City. We're headed there for Monday night.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It will be the... used to be San Diego Chargers taking on the Kansas City Chiefs tonight, and that's a... I don't know, what time do they even kick off Monday Night Football? I mean, I know the pregame's at 4:30. How much pregame do you have to put up with?
I think it's 5:15.
5:50, you got to put up with 45 minutes of pregame. And then it gets even worse, because then you got to put up with Joe Tessitore during the broadcast if you're watching on TV. So that's why we invite you to listen on 97.3 The Fan and enjoy the broadcast. Congratulations to Sean in, I think it was Lakeside. I'm trying to think back to Friday when we did our college football weekly pick'em.
Thomas is saying yes, it was.
It was Sean in Lakeside. Yeah. And Sean, my goodness, first guy all year who ran the table. He went 5-0 on the college football picks, and that was against the spread, too. So, good work. He beat Skyler, obviously. Skyler didn't go 5-0. And so, he won a family four-pack of movie passes to San Diego's hometown theater, Ultrastar Cinema in Mission Valley. We'll do the college pick'em thing again this coming Friday, but nice work by Sean in Lakeside.
Coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a family four-pack of tickets to join us for 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night at the SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint on Friday, December 13th. Experience over 1 million lights in the all-new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Cirque Christmas Show. You can also be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for two at the uniquely Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter.
Are you done already?
Yeah.
God, I usually take a break when you read that thing.
I didn't take a breath before I started.
Well, next time, do that.
Okay.
All right, let's check in on this Colin Kaepernick situation over the weekend. And to me, it's the most interesting story going in sports right now, other than maybe we could kick the Astros while they're down.
Yeah.
But there's really nothing new there, at least at the moment. Kaepernick, there's a lot of people that are saying Kaepernick kind of blew his opportunity. Saturday, he moved the workout. He didn't do what everybody said. He wore a Kunta Kinte t-shirt. I don't know why that should bother people, but it did. Anyway, Kaepernick, I think, honestly, who's been blackballed by the NFL since 2016, I think people don't really know the whole story. And I think that that's kind of why most people are like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? The NFL puts a workout on for him, and he just gets up and moves. and, you know, does his own thing. Like, who is this guy? How arrogant of Colin Kaepernick? So, and that's what I've heard from most people. But there's a reason that he moved the workout. There's a lot of reasons. One of them was the fact that the NFL was in total control of the workout previously, and it was going to be their receivers, and it was going to be their workout, and it was going to be their media and their camera, and they were going to put together the tape of how Colin Kaepernick looked and send it to the rest of the league, which meant that they could edit it any way they wanted to, make him look good, bad, or indifferent. They also wanted Colin Kaepernick, as I understand it, to sign a waiver release, releasing him from any claims of collusion or any retaliation against the NFL in that area. Well, Colin Kaepernick was not going to give up his right to speak, and that's basically what the NFL was asking him to do in exchange for doing this workout where they had it set up. I don't think people are aware that he was asked to sign a waiver basically to shut up and not say anything. And Colin Kaepernick's, to me, I mean, he's all about making his point and backing up his point to the point where he's given up playing pro football. I don't know that he's ever going to play again. I don't know what's going to end up turning out, but I commended him personally for moving the workout. Now, when he moved the workout, a bunch of teams didn't go, but I don't think he cared that much about that. What he wanted was a workout where any media could come in and all the fans could come in, and everybody could just see for themselves and make up their own determination, not the NFL editing some film that they put together. And he also wasn't going to give up his rights to talk about the collusion that's been going on to keep him out of the league for the last 4 years. And I don't blame him. I don't think he should. So I was on Kaepernick's side here. I thought the NFL kind of was doing a dog and pony show. It was all set up. And I thought Kaepernick kind of stayed a step ahead of them. But we had Michael Irvin on earlier, the playmaker, the great Hall of Famer, radio.com NFL insider, and I asked him about this whole Colin Kaepernick situation, and here's what he had to say.
I understand what you started this with, and he's right on what he started with, the social injustice and what's happening between police officers and African Americans and all of that. He's absolutely correct, 100%, that there's an injustice there that we need to look at and consider. But the league doesn't do that. The league has made more African Americans millionaires than anybody else in the world. I don't know any place else that you can say have helped the plight of African Americans. I know it has helped me move my family out of the ghettos in the hellhole of Fort Lauderdale, Miami. I know it has helped me, and it's helped countless amounts of African Americans through this gift that we call football. So to have to attack the league in that way, I thought was, you know, just to be calling Kunta Kinte and all of that stuff, that was not right. I thought winning for Kaepernick was getting back on a team. And us being able to talk about, man, he fought through, he stuck with what he believed, and he got back on a team. And then that came down Saturday, and I just don't think he helped himself with the way he handled that.
All right, that was Michael Irvin. So Michael Irvin, I think, kind of listened to what I had to say, but didn't necessarily agree with me. The Kunta Kinte reference is to the main character in Roots, which is a famous television program many, many years ago. It was patterned after a book written by Alex Haley about slavery. And so that was the reference that Kaepernick was making by wearing his T-shirt, and that really rubbed some people the wrong way. But Michael Irvin says why Kaepernick was trying to blame the NFL and make the NFL look bad, and the NFL was trying to give him an opportunity. I don't know that I agree that the NFL was trying to give him an opportunity. What do you think, Scraby? I mean, to me, you can go either way on this one, and I think you can make a fair point either way.
I agree he shouldn't have signed a waiver. I think that's kind of crazy that they're going to make him sign a shut-up waiver pretty much.
Yeah.
But I think that Michael Irvin said it best. What's his final goal? Is it to play in the NFL again, or is it just to keep making news about yourself? And I said it last week in a very terrible way, but that's how I feel. Is I think that he's just trying to make news for himself, and he doesn't actually want to play football anymore.
Well, that I actually agree with. I don't think he wants to play football anymore. I think he would love to get an offer to play again, and I think he would probably turn it down.
He had some pretty strong words for the media after his workout on Saturday, and here is Colin Kaepernick talking after the workout.
Hey, let me start by saying I appreciate y'all coming out. That means a lot to me. Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency of what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here. It's important that y'all are here. Y'all been attacked for the last 3 years. Y'all continue to be attacked. We appreciate what y'all do. We appreciate you being here today. We appreciate the work you do for the people and telling the truth. That's what we want in everything. I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I'll interview with any team at any time. I've been ready. I'm staying ready. And I'll continue to be ready. And to all the people that came out here today to support, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. To the people that aren't here, I'm thinking of you. I appreciate you supporting from where you are. We'll continue to give you updates as we hear. We'll be waiting to hear from Roger Goodell, the NFL, the 32 teams. We'll let you know if we hear from them. Ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
All right, there you have it. There's Colin Kaepernick's statement after his workout. He tried to make it clear that he was waiting to hear from teams. He didn't say anything about playing for anybody.
That's weird.
I still wonder really if he has any intention or interest in ever playing again in the NFL. So to that point, Scraby, I do agree with you. I think he's made his point many times over. You know, and to continue making your point many times over, people, what happens is even if we agree with your point, we get tired of hearing your point.
Well,
so you've got to be careful a little bit in that regard.
Yeah, I know we need to get to break, but on that point, the NFL was the one who invited him to do this. He didn't call this thing on his own.
No.
So he could have called it on his own, and then we could have had a different thing to talk about, but the NFL called this.
But NFL called it under their under their rules.
I think
Kaepernick maybe just, you're right, he probably just shouldn't have done it at all.
No, I don't think that he should have done the NFL's offering.
Version
of the whole thing. Because, I don't think that they're going to edit the video together to make him all the bad
Probably
throws.
Not. Probably not, but you don't want to have
But did you see the throw that everybody's talking about? He can still throw that ball 60 yards on a dime.
Yeah, well, he's got to be better than what?
Kyle Allen.
No, I was gonna
Kyle
say.
Allen is the greatest up and coming quarterback in the league.
He would, Kaepernick tomorrow would make the Dolphins twice as good as they are now. So I think
that's fair to say.
I'm sorry, but that's fair to say. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Come back, wrap up the program. Quick get together today. I want to talk a little bit about why Rocky Long is so upset, and sneak in a little Laker talk as well before we head to Mexico City for Chargers Chiefs at San Diego's number one sports station. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Robert Cifuentes, you are our biggest fan.
You are our.
That's a hard one.
No, it isn't.
You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 because you have won tickets to 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night at SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. You'll also be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for two at the uniquely Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter Robert Cifuentes.
Congratulations, Robert. You have 10 minutes. It starts right now, 833-288-0973. Get yourself signed up for that contest at 973thefansd.com. All right, we only have a few minutes left till we take it to Monday Night Football. Rocky Long, Friday Night Football, his Aztecs impressive 17-7 win over Fresno State. And people say, well, how can that be impressive? You only won. As if they would have won 31-21, that somehow would have been better than winning 17-7.
People want to see points.
Yeah, people just want to see points. They want to see they want to see the ball all over the field. Well, the Aztecs threw the ball all over the field. Ryan Agnew threw 40-some-odd passes for over 330 yards. I mean, he had a career high.
323.
I mean, the Aztecs would have scored more points, but they fumbled once inside the 10. They missed a field goal or had a field goal blocked. They dominated that game, but people just don't seem like they're happy with the Aztecs. And as a result, Rocky Long was really not happy with us, I think, after that game was over.
Now, I don't know, you know, since we finally looked good on offense, I don't know if y'all realize they averaged 34 points a game and we gave them 7. Thanks.
Thanks and drop mic. That was it from Rocky Long after the game Friday night. I've never known him to do that. But I can understand some of his frustration, Scraby. 8-2 as a coach is really a good record.
Very good.
These guys prepare their butts off. They look at film. They go over game plans. They do this, that, and they hold Fresno State to one touchdown. And they play a good, solid game. There's nobody in the stands, and there's nobody who's happy about the fact that the Aztecs are 8-2 and playing for a chance to win their way into the Mountain West Conference title game this weekend at Hawaii, because people now want the Aztecs to go undefeated and play in a New Year's Day bowl game. And for some reason, if they can't get that, they're not going to be happy.
Oh, I think that's the next step for the program. You can't keep doing the same thing every year.
I know, but it's almost an impossible. Look, it's a hard argument to make, because I'm going to tell you that I had a major disappointment when they lost that Nevada game, because I knew that took away any chance they had. But I'm still trying to remember that this is a program that won 37 games or something like that in the decade of the 2000s.
You're right.
And now they win 8, 9, 10 games every year, and somehow we're disappointed by that. They've been to 9 consecutive bowl games. We're disappointed by that. So I can understand Rocky Long's frustration. I'm not exactly sure what he can do to change it other than to just win every single game 45-0, but that's not realistic.
Well, that'd be nice. I mean,
you'll take that.
Didn't they say it was going to be spread offense?
45-0 every game. Sorry, Rock. All right. Aztecs at Hawaii on Saturday. That will determine whether they get to play in the Mountain West Conference Championship game. Thanks to our crack support staff, Scraby and Odd Thomas. Thanks to Tony Gwynn Jr. Happy birthday to Tony's wife.
Happy birthday.
He'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Michael Irvin being on the show. If you missed that interview, get to 97.3thefansd.com. Coming up, Monday Night Football. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.